Tim Blankenship here with Divorce 661 Daily Perspective, Day in the Life of an LDA, Daily Perspective, episode 56 for March 6, 2024. Got a lot of things for you guys today, 12 different topics I want to go over, issues clients are having, and that's why I do these videos. Hey, we're here to make divorce better. Now with 3 million views and 3,300 videos on YouTube, I like to think I know what I'm talking about. First thing we always do is cut to the chase and go over our stats for the day and the month and the year, just as a quick recap. As you can see, I'm trying to speed through the intro. I want to get right to the good stuff. So far this week, we've had 12 consultations, new cases, 5 for the week so far, a little slower than normal coming into March, I think, because the first 2 days of the week were the weekend. So I'll probably catch up here the next 2 days, 3 LA County cases, one in Stanislaus County and Orange County case as well. Again, if I skipped over it, we've had 12 consultations as well. So 5 total for the week, 92 cases so far for the year. So we're on track for our typical 40-ish. I think we had 43 in January, 45 in February. We had a bunch of cases approved today, 2 in all LA County, it looks like. 2 were Pasadena court, 2 were out of Central. So these were approved divorce cases. And some of those I'm going over with you in detail today. I've submitted 3 divorce cases, 2 in Pasadena, 1 in Chatsworth. So it seems like everything was LA County today. Drafted a ton of settlement agreements for clients, LA, Merced County, Monterey County, et cetera. The process for settlement agreement drafting judgment packages is pretty much the same. Some counties have a little bit of a nuance with how they want their paperwork drafted, but for the most part, it's the same. All right, so I have 12 topics I want to get into with you, with issues our clients had, just things that have come up over the last day or so. Number one, had a 3-year-old divorce case where they had filed, did their own divorce paperwork, and then kind of put it aside, probably the pandemic, whatever, it doesn't matter. We see cases that go on for years where they just kind of drop the ball and stop working on the paperwork. But what the biggest issue with this particular case was, they never served the initial petition. So you have a 3-year-old divorce case where the 6-month clock hasn't even started. All they did was file. Now, fast forward 3 years later, and we have to serve the paperwork and have them sign a notice and acknowledgement to start the clock on the 6 months. So probably not a huge deal for them. They're already 3 years into it, and they haven't finalized it. But now that we took over and we've already finalized the paperwork on this, just the date of service was as soon as they hired me, because then I can say I mailed it to them and they signed the notice and acknowledgement. So huge factor in whether you're deciding to do your own divorce or getting someone to assist you with your divorce. Here's a 3-year-old divorce case that had at least been served and the clock started, I probably would have already had their divorce case approved by the court. So make sure you're serving your paperwork when you file. Number 2, 2019 divorce case finalized and e-filed and approved in 4 hours. So here's a case kind of similar to the one I was talking about where they had filed, but they had served the paperwork. So when they hired us 5 years later, we were able to take over, do the remaining paperwork, review everything they did in 2019, get copies of that, make sure that's all good to go. And then, make sure we make any corrections to that paperwork, amend anything that we need to. And then we drafted all the final paperwork, their judgment package, settlement agreement, they signed it. And because everything was, 6 months had passed and everything prior to that had been filed properly, they were able to sign, notarize, we filed, and 4 hours later, after they hired us, their divorce is approved by the court. So if you find yourself where you have a rejected judgment, you're stuck in the process, it's been a couple of years or just a couple of months, you don't have to wait forever to get us involved to take over. We'd be happy to help. Number 3, 2021 divorce case we took over. I did this as a true default. So normally I'm talking about default with agreement versus default without agreement. And I want to explain why I decided to take this case on and then do it as a true default. And it was because of a couple of factors. It was a 10-month marriage and there were no assets and debts or support that either client, either party wanted. And so we're able to finalize that simply. So if you have a simple divorce, no assets, no debts, short-term marriage, less than 10 years, nobody wants anything from anybody. The reason I did this as a default without agreement is because I didn't want to have the respondent have to get their signature notarized on the settlement agreement. They were completely willing to sign it, but this divorce case would go through in either direction, either default with agreement or default without. Default with, they would have had the respondent would have had to also do their disclosures and preliminary declaration of disclosure and then sign the settlement agreement and have that notarized because a response wasn't filed. But it was easier for the clients if I just did set this up as a default no agreement. And literally the only thing that the respondent had to sign was a notice and acknowledgement saying he received a copy, therefore being served. And then we were able to file the judgment without the respondent's signatures. They're in agreement and that's all good to go. I just didn't want to have to bother the respondent with getting their signature notarized. And that's already been approved by the court. Another new divorce case completed in 4 days. I've been talking a lot about the last couple of days of how fast we're getting divorce cases approved, especially with LA County and the e-filing and so forth. So new divorce case completed, 4 days. It was a short-term marriage, no kids, no assets, just some assets and debts, and they're each keeping 100% of their own. And now we just need to wait for this approval for 31 days. So our new divorce cases, I think I have a couple of these examples I want to talk about today. You know, say today's Wednesday, say on Monday, they call me. And this is actually what happened. Monday, they called me, hired us. You know, it was a simple divorce. It doesn't matter if it's simple or not. If there's assets, debts, kids, it doesn't change anything. But on Monday, they hired me, filed their initial summons and petition, case cover sheet. He filed it with the court, got a case number issued. Tuesday, they sent me their terms. Tuesday, I drafted their final judgment package and settlement agreement. And here's today, Wednesday, and both parties have signed the settlement agreement and notarized. So 3 days into this, we're totally done with their paperwork. I have everything I need, their notary, their electronically signed documents. I have it all uploaded in the court's e-file portal to submit to court when we can. So even though I can get the paperwork done in 3 days or 2 days or sometimes 1 day, depending on how fast you get me the information and how fast the courts are to file the paperwork, we can, even though we get it done that quickly, we still have to wait the procedural allowed timeline before we can file the final paperwork with the courts. So you might say, Tim, and our clients do ask, why do we have to wait to submit our judgment and settlement agreement? If we're in agreement and we've signed it, why are we waiting? And the reason is because of the type of divorce we're doing. We're doing a default with agreement. So because it's a default means a response was not filed. So 31 days have to pass from the date the respondent was served before we can submit the judgment, even though there's an agreement in place. So if you want to do it even faster than that, and we've done this, you just simply file a response. We had a case a few months ago, I think it was last year, where they wanted their divorce just completely done. They didn't want to wait the 31 days. So we filed the initial petition at like 8 a.m. on a Monday. As soon as I got a case number issued, which usually was like in 10 minutes, right behind that, we filed the response. So it didn't have to be served, and now we don't have to wait the 31 days. Then we had them sign the settlement agreement, notarize it, and we were literally able to file the judgment all on the same day. And all of that was approved. So because the response was filed, you're not waiting the 31 days for the response to be filed because it's already been filed. The downside to going this route is when you file the response, it triggers another $435 fee. They wanted it to be done faster. They didn't care about the fee. So if that's something you guys want to do, I'm game. Let's get it knocked out in a day. Keep in mind, with LA County, we can do that. It's still faster with other courts because we don't have to wait those 31 days to turn the settlement agreement. But with almost every other court, I want to say Tulare, Santa Cruz, and LA County, we can e-file your judgment. And so it will speed things up. We can get it in a couple weeks sooner with every other court because we're not waiting the 31 days. And if you guys want to get that done faster, it mostly makes sense where we can e-file the judgment. All right, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think we're on. I shouldn't count because I don't have them numbered. New LA County divorce case e-filed today. Separated since 2001. Never got around to filing for divorce. The issue is when she went to buy a home, she was having issues with getting a loan because they were still married. No minor children, no spouse support, just division of assets and debts. So there's some pensions and some things like that, but they've been separated for a very long time, 2001. Wanted to go buy a house. You know, a lot of people live in this world of just being separated and never getting a divorce or starting the divorce, or they do it 20, 30 years later. In this case, it happens all the time. If you find yourself in that scenario, don't feel like you're weird. Just hopefully you know where your spouse is, because that's the only issue that can come up in trying to get through the amicable divorce process in California. So yeah, long-term separation. And what brought her to the table to say, hey, Tim, I want to get this done now. She was trying to buy a home, going through qualifying with a lender. Lender said, oh, you're divorced. Shows a divorce decree. Oh, no, I'm not officially divorced. Oh, well, until you're divorced, you know, we can't approve you for a loan, because I need to know if you're paying spouse support and see how that's going to impact you and your ability to qualify. So that was the impetus for wanting to get the divorce done. Now, here's the thing with that. And what I told her is, while I can get your divorce done, in fact, this was the case. This was the case that we completed, started on Monday, signed on Tuesday, filed, you know, all signed and notarized, ready to go on Wednesday. So we're done in 3 days, but she's not going to be officially divorced for 6 months, and she's not going to have court approval for 5 weeks, which is obviously still very fast. But the question I told her, or the answer, the thing I told her to call the lender about, is where are they going to want that case to be signed by you and notarized? Is that sufficient? Do they want it signed by the judge? So we're at the 5 week mark, or do they want it completely approved by the court and you officially divorced after the 6 months? So this might have some significant delays on her when she can purchase a property if they want it completely finalized with the court. Next subject, consultation today about selling the house during divorce or after, as in when can you or when do you need to sell the house? Keeping assets separate during the marriage, you have to list them. So we had a couple things in this consultation today. Let me start with this. When to sell the house during the divorce, whenever you want. Some folks have already sold the house prior to contacting me. They've already sold it, split the proceeds or whatever they did, paid off some debts, split the remaining proceeds. If you've already done that, we'll just capture that in the settlement agreement and say parties have sold the house, paid off credit card debts, and split remaining proceeds. If you're have not sold it yet, or maybe it's for sale, are you planning on selling it soon? We're simply going to say that parties intend to sell the home, the house is listed for sale, and XYZ. We're going to split the proceeds, pay off credit, whatever. If you're going to do it in the future, and this was their issue, they thought they had to delay finalizing their case until after the home was sold, and they weren't going to sell the house until December of this year. So it's at 9-ish months from now. So they thought, oh, shoot, we can't finalize our divorce until we sell the house. So it'll probably be sometime in 2025. When we did the consultation, I told them, no, absolutely not. We'll simply say in the settlement agreement, you guys agree to sell the house, split the proceeds at a time that you guys agree, you know, on or before sometime in by the end of the year. That's totally fine as far as a settlement agreement goes. And so we got their case drafted, their settlement agreement in, and they're getting documents to me so we can finalize their divorce. And there's no reason that you need to delay that from happening. The other issue or questions they had was put the proceeds. Where did we go here? I should have numbered these. So when to sell the house, we cover that. Keeping assets separate during marriage, do you have to list them? So what I tell folks is I'm not the divorce police. A lot of our clients and just people in general, I guess they don't have to be my client, but people in marriages of whatever duration, short-term, long-term, are keeping their assets and debts completely separate. Separate bank accounts, separate credit cards. You know, your pensions obviously are accruing in your separate names, 401ks, et cetera, but leading completely separate financial lives. So the first thing they'll say, incorrectly, if you will, is that we don't have anything together, so we don't need to divide anything. Well, as you know, in California, it's all community property during the marriage for the most part. But a lot of people keep their assets and debts separate. And if you want to keep your own assets and debts and you guys agree to that, totally fine. Talk about that all the time. No one's going to get involved in your decision making if we submit a full settlement agreement on all issues. So no worries there. But about listing them, I always tell folks, you know, so technically, are you supposed to list them? Yes. Are you supposed to do the disclosures to each other? Yes. The disclosures don't get filed with the court. You guys share those and share them with each other so you can say, oh yeah, this is what we have. And so you can come to a fair agreement. That's the intention behind, or the spirit of the law, if you will, behind doing the disclosures. But we don't collect them. They don't get filed with the court. Ultimately, what I need from you is the terms. So when it comes back to, should you list them? Sure. Is it the right thing to do? Yes. Does the court know what you have? No. Do I know what you have? No. what you provide me for terms of your settlement agreement is all I have to go on. And so that's what I'm going to document. What I tell folks is, you know, you don't have to list the pots and pans in the kitchen sink. List what's important, you know, vehicles, bank accounts, credit cards, pensions, house, division, you know, things you want to see on the settlement agreement that you guys sign and notarize and that the judge signs. So you have a document, you know, settlement agreement, divorce decree that says this was the terms of your divorce. And so you have evidence of that because you never know 5, 10, 20 years from now, someone may fall on hard times and say, well, you know what? We didn't address that savings account with $100,000, or, you know, we didn't include the pension in the settlement agreement. And now I decided I want my community property share. So it's really good to get that documented. It's the right way to do it. But it's, again, it's your call. So should you list them? Yes. But again, I'm not the divorce police. I don't know what you have. The court doesn't know what you have. And I can tell you, not verified, but I know people have said, Tim, I don't want to list anything. We do have assets and debts, but we don't want the court to know about it or make a public record. And, you know, so you guys do what you do. I'm just here to support what you guys want. I'm not going to tell you not to do certain things, but if you guys just make decisions on your own, who am I to get in your way? So do you have the ideal custody schedule for kids? I think I'm going to do a separate video on this. They were asking, what's the ideal custody schedule for kids? And that's such an open-ended question. It's what's best for your, I don't know your child. That's kind of what I said. What's their age, gender, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, we can draft a custody agreement that simply says joint legal and physical custody. And they were good with that. They're like, yeah, that's fine on paper, but in reality, like with what we do, what should we do? Should we do, you know, what's going to be best for them? Is like 1 week on, 1 week off, or, you know, alternating weekends or weekdays, or, you know, 3 days on, 2 days off. So there's some different schedules that people use. And I think what I'll do is I will do a video on the different types of custody schedules that you can come up with. And maybe some will be more ideal, but everyone's going to be the same. Remember, we don't have to document the dates and times and a specific parenting plan with any county in California. They're fine with joint legal and physical custody, reasonable right of visitation to each other. So that just means you guys do what you want when you want in the best interest of your children, and the courts are totally fine with that. All right, another consultation I want to talk about, the issues that came up. They're not issues, but the things that we discussed. They wanted to sell the home, split the proceeds. They agreed to spouse support, and they wanted to. She wanted to buy a home, and they wanted 3 months of support. Okay, so this was an interesting one, kind of going back to the issue with the gal filing for divorce because she couldn't get a home because they wanted the divorce to be finalized for qualifying. In this particular case, they're going to sell the home, split the proceeds. No problem, but she wants to buy a house. I believe it was in Texas. I don't remember, but the lender told her not only do they want the divorce finalized, but they want the spouse support to have been paid for 3 months so they can classify the spouse support as income for purposes of qualifying for the loan. So logistically, this is not going to be a problem, but for her having to wait the 6 months until the divorce is finalized. So with the settlement agreement, we're going to indicate that she's getting that spouse support. We can start that immediately. I mean, if you've been receiving spouse support, we can even backdate the start date of spouse support prior to you even filing for divorce. A lot of people are paying support or spouse support or child support well before they file for divorce because they've been separated for years. In this case, they hadn't. But so here we are, early part of March. We just filed their divorce case today. We got filed paperwork back from court today. Already sent out the little worksheet I have to collect their terms. I know there's going to be spouse support. So we're just going to start the spouse support March 1st. And by probably, I don't know, 3 months from now, we'll be approved by the court 6 months before she's officially divorced. But by that time, there's going to be a documented court order that spouse support's been paid for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever time has gone by. Now, keep in mind, I did real estate for a bit, and I know a little bit about lending. I have a bunch of people in that world. I guarantee the lenders can get a little tricky, especially if you're, and when I say lender, it's mostly the underwriter. Not only are they going to want to see a court order for spouse support, they could ask for canceled checks or bank deposits to show that money's hitting your account. So keep that in mind if you guys are doing a settlement agreement to show income, but it's not really there, if you know what I'm saying. you may want to make sure that those deposits are hitting your account so it's verifiable, aside from the settlement agreement. Okay, so that was that. So next issue, in the next case that came up, finalized Monterey settlement agreement judgment package. So when I say settlement agreement judgment package, it's the same thing, but different, if that makes sense. So the judgment package, there's a series of forms that make up the judgment package. As part of the judgment package, you need to have the judgment and the settlement agreement portion, which is the terms of your agreement. So when I say, I kind of use those interchangeably sometimes, but I just wanted to clarify that. So Monterey County settlement agreement judgment package for clients. They're married less than 10 years, no spouse support. Each was keeping their own assets and debts and listed that they were keeping their Social Security. So I want to talk about that. I haven't talked about this in a while. Folks will treat their Social Security like it's an asset, and it's more treated like income. We don't say you're keeping 100% of your income. And I know what they're thinking. Social Security is kind of like retirement. So they're going to say they're keeping 100% of their retirement, 100% of Social Security. So we don't document that on your settlement agreement because there's already built-in laws related to Social Security and how that works. And I don't have the document in front of me, but you can go to, you know, socialsecurity.gov or whatnot to look it up. But here's the basic framework of how Social Security works. If you've been married longer than 10 years, each of you have a vested interest in each of your spouse's Social Security, and you have the option of getting 100% of your own Social Security or 50% of your spouse's, whichever is greater. So off the fly, I'm going to try and do math. Let's say spouse A will get $1,000 a month in retirement, in Social Security, and spouse B will only get $250 because maybe they were the stay-at-home mom or dad and they didn't have as many credits in the calculation, so they're only going to get $250. $1,000 for spouse A and $250 for spouse B. Spouse B, if you qualify, so the 10-year marriage rule, you don't get remarried, obviously, is you can then claim 50% of spouse A's Social Security, which is $500 because it's 50% of $1,000, and that's higher than your $250. So the benefit is you can get $500, but guess what? Spouse A still gets their $1,000. So there's no reason to fight over Social Security. It's already built in law. There's no downside to the higher earner, only a benefit to the person receiving less. So don't fight over Social Security, because I've had consultations, not recently, but in the past, they've said, Tim, we agree on everything but Social Security. He or she wants my Social Security. It doesn't impact you in that way. Okay, what do we got next for you here? Finalized a Merced settlement agreement, judgment package. Wife was going to keep 100% of her pension and 401k. And I specify that because the court will not make them divide that. And a lot of people are concerned, as was this client, Tim, I'm going to keep 100% of my pension 401k. What will the court say? And the other thing is they were going to sell their home and the future and split the equity 50-50 when they do. So just to reiterate, the court's not going to get involved in your decision-making. If you're going to keep 100% of your 401k, your pension, your house, whatever the case might be, the court will not interfere with that. If we're drafting a settlement agreement, you guys have notarized it. The court knows you guys are doing this for your own reasons, and they're not going to say, wow, this doesn't look fair to me. I think we're going to call them into court and ask them, you know, why they're doing this. So don't worry about that. The other issue was selling the house in the future. We kind of covered that earlier, and they were planning on one spouse staying in the home for a couple of years. And they had an arrangement where they're going to split the mortgage and to make the payments, and upon some mutual time frame in the future, sell the house, split the proceeds. That's all totally fine. The court, you know, we don't need to, as long as we address it, don't have to have certain dates. You know, it might be recommended, depending on your scenario, that you say, hey, on or before a certain date. Like earlier, we were talking about, you know, the end of the year or 2 years, or maybe just put a date in to say that we'll meet and confer on an annual basis, even to discuss and see if it's a time that we should sell based on whatever factors you guys decide to come up with. Okay, next issue. Two cases approved today. We kind of went over that earlier. Both approved in 5 weeks. How do we do that? I did a short video today showing the dates, proving it. People say, Tim, how can you get this done in 5 weeks when it's 6 months before your divorce? So I want to kind of go over this again. We file your divorce case electronically with LA County, let's say, and we get a case issued the same day. Then I have the respondent sign a notice and acknowledgement. It's a way of being served super amicably. And we do that through a portal where it's just e-signed, and that we have that dated the very next day. That's what starts the clock on the 6 months. Remember earlier, I was telling you, we have to wait 31 days to submit the settlement agreement judgment package to the court for review and approval. So long as my clients get me their terms, we draft all the final paperwork, they sign it and notarize it, which we usually have in a couple of days, like earlier I was saying, we had it done in 3 days. On the 31st day, I schedule it on my calendar. I go back and I e-file the paperwork, and like we get same day approvals sometimes with LA County. Sometimes it'll be like 2 weeks. It'll be odd. Like maybe it gets lost in the shuffle or something, but sometimes we'll get some same day, oftentimes next day approval, and they are completely done. Signed, approved by the judge, official as you can be. The only thing outstanding is they're not officially divorced. Their case is approved. Their terms, their agreements are all in place. They're just not single people yet until that 6 month date has passed, which will be stamped on the settlement agreement judgment form. That FL-180 is going to say when your divorce is entered. And like this case, I think they were both on the same day because we file so many cases that we'll have multiple approvals on the same day many times. And both of these had like August 4th final divorce dates. What happens on August 4th? Nothing. Nothing else comes from the court. They already have their approval that I sent these two cases. I already sent them their approval, their settlement agreement, their divorce decree, their judgment, whatever you want to call it. And it says, your divorce is approved. Here, the judge has signed it. Here is your final divorce date, August 4th, 2024. You have that document. So let's fast forward. It's August 24th, 2024. What happens? Nothing. You're just no longer married per your divorce decree. That's it. Nothing else is coming in the mail. You don't need any other documentation. I say that because all my clients call me on the final date. You know, I'll tell them 5 weeks, hey, you're approved. Nothing else is coming. This is it. Make copies. They're like, great, we have it. Thank you. We're done. And then invariably, they'll email me, text me, call me and say, hey, Tim, where's our final paperwork? You said August 4th. I'm like, I gave it to you on March 6th. That was it. They're like, oh, you're right. I forgot. So sometimes it going so fast can cause our clients to forget that they were completely done 5 months before the divorce was final. Okay. I want to talk about protecting your privacy. I filed a Stanislaus County divorce via e-file today. Thankfully they allow e-file and we got it back in like 30 minutes, which is impressive because some of these counties, even though they have e-file, will take 5 days a week. We had Ventura take 45 days. It's just all over the charts because e-file is new for a lot of counties, but we got it back in like 30 minutes. But what I didn't like in trying to protect your privacy is that just to file for divorce, they had I didn't write down the name of the form, but it was like personal information disclosure to the court. They wanted social security numbers from both petitioner and respondent. They wanted the date of births from petitioner and respondent and driver's license from petitioner and respondent on this one form. Oh, it was a confidential declaration. That's what it was called. Confidential, but it's being e-filed. Confidential, but it says do not redact or black out or strike out. They wanted the full information. I mean, and then on there obviously is their names, addresses. Okay, now date of birth, social security, and driver's license. What else do you need to steal someone's identity? Yes, when we e-file it with the court, we can, there's like a little toggle, like is this public record or is this confidential? And some of these confidential forms with some of these other counties, like it automatically defaults to confidential. But this form, when you have to select the form you're e-filing as part of the filing process, public was an option. So if I had marked public, technically someone could go to the county, create a login, pay a dollar and get this confidential document. So I really don't like that some of these counties request and require this information. Like if we didn't file this document, they wouldn't accept the filing. They would have rejected the petition. It's kind of scary. You know, it's these smaller counties that are doing this. San Francisco, I think, wants your driver's license, like a scan of it. Just weird. You know, some other counties want, you know, maybe your date of birth and what they're doing, like Orange County, they want your date of birth on top of, you know, the regular information, which is not a big deal. They're just trying to make sure that there's not an open case. So they're going to search your name and search your date of birth, see if there's any other related cases. In fact, that's the name of their form, notice of related cases. They just want to make sure there's not an open divorce case or whatnot before they file a new divorce. So for Stanislaus, I don't know what their issue is, there's no reason to have that information. These folks had no minor children. So it's not like they need to do like a child support case registry form, that they needed any of that information. So I don't know what they use this for. You know, they're not, it's not a litigated case. There's not going to be a trial, none of it. So kind of scary. I did mark that, just so you know, in case you're listening, I did mark that it was confidential, but it was an option to make it public. I don't like that. We had no option in this case. And I talk about that in privacy a lot because I tell you, you know, when it comes to listing your assets and debts and the names of the pensions and 401ks, we do list that, but only the last four digits of account number. We don't specify dollar amounts unless we absolutely have to. If you're dividing 50-50, we'll say that. We don't say, hey, you know, you're getting $500,000 from the 401k or you're splitting the $2 million in, you know, proceeds from the sale of your home. No, we just say 50-50. Again, we only list the actual dollar amounts if it's going to be a different amount than 50-50. But we try and keep the settlement agreement accurate, but as non-specific as we can, in case someone got, you know, some of the wrong people got their hands on it. Plus, you know, you're going to need your divorce decree for certain things in the future. Remarriage, I don't know, does your spouse want to see it? You know, probably they do, make sure you're divorced. Church, you know, when you go to get remarried, they're going to want to see it. So there's a lot of personal information in there. Will your employer need it? I don't know. But, you know, if it's non-specific, I just think that's better just from personal reasons and privacy, and so you not have your identity stolen at some point in the future. All right, that's it for episode 56 of Divorce 661 Daily Perspective. At Divorce 661, we make divorce better. I hope that's not too weird. All right, talk to you guys tomorrow.